Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
It's Good Friday, and we're filming, and I'm stretching, and I'm in Florida.
I know. Yes, it's Good Friday, and I've already had a busy Friday. I saw a patient. I came in because she just happens to be in town, so I thought, okay, I'll come into the office and see her. And then I went and did Pilates. I did a private Pilates with my friend Karen, which was great. My absolute fire. And now we're here.
And we're going to film. And I have one quick question because we haven't been able to catch up. But I saw one of your Instagrams. Did your daughter win the whole dance competition?
She didn't win the whole competition, but she won her entire category. So she was selected as the best solo, duet, small group, large group of all the dances in her category, her solo one. And actually, I'll send it to you after. It was amazing. And this is her first year dancing.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane. She loves it. And I tried very hard not to be a dance mom, because being a dance mom is a job. Like, it's a whole thing. Like, you're a dance, like, look up the dance mom category on Instagram, and there's like a gazillion videos and things, because you have to know how to, like, you have to be at the competition the entire weekend. You have to get the costumes, the makeup, know how to do the makeup. I had to buy like so much stuff from Sephora. My makeup application has gotten better since becoming a dance mom. Anyhow, yeah. So next week we'll be in Niagara.
But I'm wow,
doing great. Yeah,
it's amazing. And it's just everything she does, you know, turns to gold. Really, like, she just.
I mean, she's very. Yeah, she's pretty talented when it comes to sports and theater. Her math tests haven't turned to gold yet.
Oh, that's just math.
Yeah, just math. Meh. Whatever. There's going to be AI. You don't need to be smart anymore. AI is smart.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get going. Melissa, what do you want to start with some?
Okay. So I'll start with one thing that actually, like, every now and then I'll have some friends or some just people that follow me on Instagram or family members that send me articles, and they'll say to me, like, can you talk about this? Oh my gosh. So this week, my cousin sent me this thing that she saw on mouthwash. And she said, oh my God, is this true? You need to look into this. So it's about how antibacterial mouthwash is associated with reduced performance, exercise performance, and also high blood pressure, heart disease, and just like all-cause mortality. And she's like, why on earth is mouthwash associated with this? And is me using mouthwash before I work out really affecting my performance? And so I've heard this before, but obviously I dug a little deeper, and it turns out that yes, it's all has to do with our microbiome. So when you use an antibacterial mouthwash or an antiseptic mouthwash, okay, the way they're marketing them to you is that it's killing the bacteria that cause bad breath. And we think of that as a good thing, to kill the bacteria in our mouth. But the reality is that we have both good and bad bacteria that reside within our mouths and our gut. And it's the ratio of them that is what's important. And when we kill this bacteria, we're also killing the good bacteria. And the reason that's relevant is that the job of the good bacteria in our mouth is to convert nitrate into nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator, meaning that it expands our blood vessels so that we can get more oxygen. So that's why they're saying it can affect your performance, because if you use mouthwash and you're not able to produce this nitric oxide, then you're not going to get the same blood flow to your muscles, and you're not going to get that pump that they talk about with workouts, when your muscles swell a little bit after the workout. Also, it affects blood pressure, because when your blood vessels are constricted, that's correlated with high blood pressure. So we need nitric oxide to relax the blood vessels to get more blood flow, and that lowers blood pressure. And interesting, this is actually how Viagra works, right? So Viagra increases nitric oxide, they get more blood flow to the penis, and that helps with erectile dysfunction.
Wow.
So it's kind of confusing science, but basically what it boils down to is be careful about using antiseptic mouthwash. You don't want to be using this. People use it twice a day, or they use it all the time throughout the day. Not
do
a good.
Do people use
some
it a lot?
People do. I think there's some people that have, they worry about bad breath. And so they gargle with it a couple times a day. And you're better off promoting the good bacteria if that's the situation. So having, you know, yogurt or fermented food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it got me thinking. So when we talk about nitrites and nitrates, this way, it's making it think that they're a good thing because they reduce it to nitric oxide. Nitric oxide dilates blood vessels, more blood flow, more mitochondria, more energy. But then I started thinking, well, what about deli meats? Like, isn't it bad in deli meats? Like, aren't we told to avoid nitrates in deli? So I couldn't understand. So turns out that the nitrates in processed meats like pepperoni, salami, bacon, those nitrates turn into nitrosamines instead of nitric oxide. And nitrosamines are carcinogenic. So they are linked with increased risk for cancer, especially cancers of the GI tract. So there you have it.
Very interesting. So I just looked up using Grok, because that's what I use. Listerine is owned by Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
So antiseptic mouthwash. It was originally developed in 1879.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wonder if the formula has changed as well. You know?
Well, I think that like it's the alcohol in the mouthwash and this whole marketing of antibacterial. People think when you hear antibacterial, they think that's a good thing.
Right.
Because we're killing bacteria. But it's the same problem with overusing antibiotics as well.
Right.
When you kill bad bacteria, you're also killing the good bacteria that live in our GI tract. And it's all about the ratio of good and bad bacteria that matters.
And isn't that why some people get yeast infections when they take antibiotics?
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to be able to, I think they call it the dysbiosis. Yeah. So it says that when the quantity and proportion of the friendly bacteria are reduced, the harmful strains and pathogens are allowed to grow unchecked. And this can result in an imbalance known as dysbiosis, which is associated with poor health. So that's why sometimes, you know, we think, you think you're doing a good thing, but, you know, some, and this is why a lot of my patients still, they're like, just give me an antibiotic. And I will say to them, like, I know you want one, but this is a viral infection. And sometimes by taking an antibiotic that you don't need, it's not just an insurance plan. You're also could be doing some harm. But it's hard for people to sometimes, you know,
I mean,
that, especially when they're feeling like crap.
Well, yeah. And when I was younger and working on Wall Street, I'm like, you can't get sick. Like, you just can't get sick on a trading desk because you got to show up there at 5:30 in the morning. So I was definitely one that was like asking my doctors for like, just give me the Z-Pack.
I know. Does that exist anymore? The trading desks like that? Or is this all computers?
Oh, no. I mean, I haven't visited one in a while, but yeah, no, it's still all there. Speaking of insurance, just for one second, I'm not going to talk a lot about the stock, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. Well, two interesting stocks to mention. One is Eli Lilly. The stock was up 14% the other day, and that's because of a GLP-1 pill meeting goals. This was a study that they have been doing, obviously using a pill versus an injection, and that the GLP-1 pill matched the weight loss of the injections, and they're expected to file regulatory approval for obesity for this pill by year end. So the stock, you know, for a large, like a large cap company like Eli Lilly to be up 14% is pretty significant.
Huge. In one day.
Yeah.
I wonder if Novo Nordisk dropped on that result as well, because their oral pill didn't perform quite as well as they had hoped.
Okay. I didn't look at that one.
Someone told me they was also on, it was on the news. Like one of my patients said they were watching one of the morning shows and they talked all about Eli Lilly and this pill. So it obviously got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And I said to my patient, she was like, I can't wait for the pill to be there. And I said to her, well, is really taking the shot that bad? Like, it seems like it's like once a week. Like, is it that intrusive to your life that the pill would make such a difference? And she said, yeah, she said the fact that you have to like keep it in the fridge and that it's visible and that you have, like, she just said a pill
That's
would be more
interesting.
discreet and easier to remember that it's the same time every night. But so I was curious. I think you're going to get a lot of people that will switch from the injection to the oral. And there's still a lot of people that are afraid of needles, and that's what's holding them back from taking it.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
One other thing too, UNH, so United Health Company, so one of the insurance companies, health insurance companies in the States, which is a very different system than we have in Canada, that stock was down 22% in one day. And again, a very big, these are, I'm trying to teach people, like, these are big moves, right? Like, stocks kind of move maybe 1-3%. They can move, you know, significantly on big news items too. So that's important to know.
Wasn't this the one that the CEO was shot?
That is the same company, correct?
Yeah.
But the stock was down.
But it's dropped even further since then. Oh my God.
Yeah. And well, and I don't know if it resumed some of the weakness that it had before, but they came in and they missed earnings expectations. So right now in the market, companies are reporting their most recent results. So the first quarter, you know, January, February, March, and then they report in April. Okay. So they reported weaker than expected earnings. And one of the reasons is because they had higher medical costs in their Medicare business. Enrollees, so their members, are getting more checkups, so more costs. And from those checkups, more follow-up items to see specialists. So I just thought, you know, just kind of an interesting, you
and
know.
They're probably proving more ever since the guy got killed. For
Pardon?
So, and they're probably making a lot more approvals ever since the guy
Maybe.
Got killed for all the rejections. You know, they were in the news because they were rejecting so many claims. I mean,
right?
It's a tough business. I mean, sometimes I think about our system is so different than the American system. And I get it that both have their problems, but
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Like, I have a patient who was in the US and had a medical issue, and the workup he got and the treatment he got was so different from here. In some ways it was good because they were so on him with a bunch of tests and all these things. But on the other hand, he didn't need, like, the amount of stuff that he got done when we came back here, I was like, that's crazy. Like, you didn't need all those tests. And then they all were trying to label him with the diagnosis that he actually doesn't have.
Oh.
It was wild. And actually,
Wow.
that segues nicely into another study that I want to talk about on
Okay.
CT scan. So here's an example. So we sometimes think in the US, they're a lot more likely to work things up. They do a lot more tests than we do here.
That's what you mean by work up.
That's what I mean by work it up. So if you go into the doctor with a headache in the US, they're more likely to do CT scan, MRI, lumbar puncture, all these different things. Whereas here, they take a little bit more of a approach of, because we don't have the same access to the testing and there's
Right.
less liability here. Like in the US, I think everybody's so worried about getting sued, about missing something. So they're so worried, oh God, what happens if that headache was a brain bleed and I didn't order the CT scan and now they're going to sue me. Whereas in Canada, we don't really, it's not as litigious.
Right.
And the doctors are protected by our Canadian Medical Protective Agency. Anyhow, so I read the study. It said it was a large scale study of CT scans performed in the United States has estimated that this technology could lead to more than 100,000 cases of radiation induced cancers. So in other words, those CT scans are causing cancer. So this study was published in JAMA and it found that in 2023, 61.5 million Americans underwent a total of 93 million CT exams. And approximately 103,000 radiation-induced cancers were projected to result from those exams. So the most common radiation-induced cancers they saw were lung cancer, colon cancer, leukemia, and bladder cancer.
Thank God.
Yeah, and in females, breast cancers was the second most common. So just to give you an idea of how much radiation a CT scan delivers, so
yeah.
Average X-ray, okay, so if you have a chest X-ray or an ankle X-ray or whatever, we'll give you the amount of radiation that you could expect to be exposed to in about 2 days worth of environmental radiation. Okay. 10 days worth of environmental radiation. A CT scan is going to expose you to the amount of radiation that you would normally get from 2 years of environmental radiation.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a large load. And if you're getting multiple CT scans or unnecessary CT scans, yes, it may pick up additional. Well, that's what the study didn't show, is how many cancers did it pick up. There's always a risk benefit.
That's true. So
if it picked up more cancers ultimately than it induced,
right,
then okay, that's
then
okay.
Then.
But maybe there's other modalities they could have used, like ultrasound, which has no radiation, or MRI, which has no radiation, instead of the CT scan, and therefore save those radiation-induced cancers.
That's interesting. I didn't know that, you know, MRI or ultrasound, you
there's
know,
no radiation.
No radiation, so better than a CT potentially, depending.
Yeah. It says that what they extrapolated was that the findings suggest if the current radiation dosing and practices continue, then CT-associated cancers could eventually account for 5% of all new cancer diagnoses annually. That's a lot. So what I'm saying is, like, we have this tendency to say, like, give me the antibiotic, give me the CT scan, give me the drug, give me it. But we don't always think about, you know, in medicine, they always talk about that Hippocratic oath, like, do no harm. So you don't want to cause harm by ordering some of these tests that might not be necessary.
Sure. Understood. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see the, you know, your world and my world, you know, intersect, really, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's, again, that's why I love investing. That's why I love the markets. That's because it's our everyday life.
Yeah, I don't love the investing in the markets lately.
Okay, no, that is very difficult. I will say that. You know, we had a bit of a reprieve when we had the pause. Remember going back a week ago on these tariffs. And there has been apparently some progress made as it relates to, you know, trade discussions, particularly with Japan, the United States and Japan. Mm-hmm. So these are kind of these one-off conversations, which I think is how President Trump wants to proceed. That's our mm-hmm. understanding of that. Mm-hmm. So progress apparently with Japan and progress, I believe, with Italy as well. You know, I'll just say that, you know, from the market perspective, you know, people are really wondering if the bottom is in, right? There's still the themes right now in the market are, will the tariffs cause a recession? Will the tariffs cause inflation? And if that's the case, these companies, you know, people, consumers aren't going to be able to buy as much. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, company revenue won't be as strong, the profits won't be as strong, and therefore the share prices should be trading lower. And so people are really trying to, when I say people, I'm talking about the big money managers, pension funds are trying to figure out how this plays out. And I still say, you know, I'd say, like, we don't know yet. We still don't know. And that's why, you know, people are being very, you know, stock specific rather than just buying the overall broader market, which you can do. They're really kind of trying to do their homework and, you know, and figure out which stocks they want to buy, which is what you and I talk about on a weekly basis.
Hmm. Have you chosen any stocks, or is anything that's caught your attention recently?
Well, you know, there's a part of me, I'm like, why don't I just buy more of what I already own? Because I've already done the homework on it and I like it.
Yeah. And so, now it's just on paper.
Yeah. So I could do that. You know, I was thinking about Google, but I'll just point out in the news, I don't know if you've seen this, but, you know, a judge has determined that Google has operated as an ad monopoly, depriving rivals to compete. Google is going to appeal and said that, you know, publishers chose Google because their ad technology was better and simple and more affordable. So, you know, the stock was down, you know, maybe 2% the other day on this, which isn't a big move. I think this has always been a bit of an issue surrounding Google in terms of their competitive process. But that's one that I've looked at buying. I've thought about buying Uber as well. Haven't done it yet. And Apple, you know, just adding to positions. What I want to point out as well, though, this is a stock I looked at years ago, and I'm glad I didn't buy it because it's, you know, plummeted. I believe they had a dividend, and that's why I was going to buy it years ago. It's Hertz.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the stock was up about 43% one day and 50% the other day, just this past week, because Bill Ackman, which is a very well-known hedge fund manager, Pershing Square's company, took a 20% stake in Hertz.
In the rental car, Hertz?
Yeah.
Do they think they're going to be one of the rentals of self-driving cars?
I don't know. They were, I've been looking and I haven't read yet why what his thesis is on the company. I've been trying to find it.
Or they think no one can buy cars anymore because cars have gotten so expensive because of the tariffs. Maybe that's right. Why. Who could afford it? Yeah. Like if car prices are going to go way up, people are going to be renting more cars. Makes sense.
Maybe. I don't know if that's his thesis, but that's an interesting thesis.
Phil, give me a call.
Exactly. It'd be funny if that was his reason.
Maybe car prices are going to go up. You know, it's interesting. I got a call.
Yep.
So for all of a sudden, randomly, I get a call. I own a Tesla, right? I have a Tesla Y. Yep. I've had it for, I think, like 4 years. And I got a call from Tesla the other day saying, hey, you know, have you thought about upgrading? Have you wanted to come and look at the new Ys we have available? They're trying to sell more cars. So they're basically trying to send me stuff on trade-in and encouraging me to upgrade. I think they're trying to encourage more car sales because their sales are down, right? Like Tesla stock's taken a major hit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if Elon regrets this whole...
I doubt it.
I don't know. We'll see. I think Kathy Wood still projects like that it's going to go sky high.
Are you going to buy another Tesla?
A car?
Yeah.
No, because mine can... I have to say that it's the only car I've ever had that after 4 years... Like, usually when I used to have cars or when I used to lease cars, after 4 years, I want to get rid of them. Like, I'm looking forward to getting a new one. I don't feel that at all with this car. Like, I like it. It still drives the exact same. I don't feel the need to get a new one. And I don't want to spend more money on that right now. This one serves me just fine. It actually, the thought occurred to me that I feel like, you know how Apple, I don't know if this is true, but obviously some people feel that when you've had the same version of the phone for so long, it stops working as well. You know, all of a sudden the battery life isn't good anymore. And because they're trying to subtly encourage you to upgrade. I'm worried that I hope Tesla doesn't start doing that with the car. That all of a sudden it's not working as well and this and that. And then I have to constantly be upgrading because then the whole reason I purchased the car instead of lease the car is because I don't want to have to get a new car every 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
But if that's what they do, now they haven't done that. It's still, the battery's great and it works great, but.
Good. I know. Speaking of purchases, I just want to point out as well that, you know, because we're in earnings right now, earnings season is what it's called. And so the US companies tend to report ahead of the Canadian companies, just a timing difference. I don't know why. But so in other words, we'll start to get the Canadian earnings in another week or so. But anyway, a number of the bank CEOs, because the banks have reported, they reported last week, were saying that the consumer has been really quite resilient. So despite what we're talking about in the economy and concerns, the consumer has held in, but they have shifted their spending away from travel and entertainment and more towards essentials. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, so the XRT is an ETF that represents retail companies in the United States, okay, XRT, and it's down 16% over the past 3 months. So it's been what we call an underperformer. That sector of the economy, retail, has been an underperformer versus the broader economy. And interestingly, the mall-oriented stocks are down 30%. I say all of this to say, and I've been thinking this, it's worth it to look at some of the retail companies, which you and I have done, right? We've looked at Lululemon, but don't forget, you know, they got hit again because of where they make their products and the potential tariffs that will impact Lululemon. So, you know, to buy a retail stock right now, you really have to do your homework and know, you know, where do they manufacture and who's affected.
Yeah, like if you think that we're going into a recession, and if
that
you think,
too,
you know, we're going to recession and people are spending on essentials because they aren't able to spend on the luxury items.
That's like great.
Travel and, you know, then these stocks are going to take a hit and eventually we'll recover. So maybe you'll get them at a discount or, you know, but yeah, I guess you just have to look at one you've been looking at waiting for it to get cheap enough. But I think that people are going to feel some pain, you know?
Yeah. It feels, certainly feels like that, but you know, companies like we've looked at together, like Lulu or like Revolve, RLV.
And Aritzia. Aritzia is amazing too. Do you shop at Aritzia? It's so
I
good.
Don't. I know.
It is so good. I was in there the other day more for my daughter, but then all of a sudden I start looking around and I'm like, oh, look, that's a perfect outfit for work. And oh, that's a, I bought stuff. And
actually we talked about this. Stuff. I know we talked about this back in the December time period. I bought my mom some stuff there. Very classy, very nice, good quality. So that stock is down almost 40% over the past 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's, you know, over the past year, it was high. It was as high as $73 or so, 74. It's trading at 42 right now. So that's one that, you know, this is, yes. Yeah. So, and on that note, I wanted, I have just a number of different news items, but on that note, in terms of, you know, buying companies that you like, that you believe in, that have pulled back so significantly, OMERS, so one of the pension funds in Canada, Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement Fund, they loaded up on stocks, I think maybe about a week or so ago, and they manage $138 billion. So everyone is kind of trying to figure out, and we talked about this, you can leg in, you can buy, you know, whatever your, you know, buy 5% of what your overall dollar figure in what stock is going to be. And you can just call it, it's called legging in. And I also just point out too, there, B of A, so Bank of America, they publish what's called a fund manager survey. And it's basically just taking a survey of some of the big money managers out there to see how they're feeling, what they're thinking. And right now, it's the fifth most bearish survey. So sentiment, bearish in 25 years.
Makes sense.
It makes sense. Sometimes that's a contra indicator. In other words, when everyone's so bearish, that often can be the best time to buy.
Oh yeah, I think so. Like that's the opportunity. It just has to be, are you like brave enough, you know? And it's sort of like, you know, when I always go back to talking about Buffett, you know, people think when he sold off his Apple stake, oh, did he sell too early? Did he sell too early? So maybe he didn't sell at the total top, but he sold pretty close. So maybe if you buy right now, maybe you're not buying at the bottom, but you're still doing okay. You know, like, I think you can never predict when we're going to be at the bottom, the same way you can never predict when you're going to be at the top.
Right.
I would think people would argue he made a pretty good trade there.
Right.
You know, so you got to think, if you think that we are, if you think, even if it still goes down further, you didn't make a mistake. The same way that even though it went up further for Buffett, he didn't make a mistake. No one can predict. And that's why I like this dollar cost averaging. I like,
because yeah,
it's totally unpredictable. Have you ever been on Polymarket?
No.
It's, go on it. Okay, so polymarket.com, you can basically bet on
it. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if you go on Polymarket, first thing you'll see is who's going to win the Canadian election. And then they'll see what the odds are. So you can see who people are thinking. You could think, right, are we going to have a recession? You can bet. And it just, you know, I don't want to say, if you have a problem with gambling or anything like that, don't go on
what are you saying here?
You could go on it all the time. I actually was going to tell my dad about it. And then I was like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe he'll be busy too. Maybe he'll, you know, maybe a little bored. It feels like it's like, everybody is like Vegas at their fingertips now, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The only reason they say that is because I can't remember, but to sort of look at what a general sentiment is for certain people and how they view certain things. If people think that, which direction the economy is going. The only thing that scares me a little bit right now, when you talk about the fifth most bearish market, I feel like those those other things were not self-induced. They were unexpected, like the pandemic, like it just happened. Whereas this seems like it was like when Trump set the tip, like he did it. Like he did something that caused it. Do you know what I mean? And he could reverse that just as easily. Whereas no one did anything that caused the pandemic. It was just a complete, what's that term? Is it a black swan?
Yeah, black swan event.
A black swan event. I feel like these tariffs right now is not a black swan event. This is a something that can change on a whim, like on a whim. Well,
but all, to your point about black swan, and whenever I give speeches, I always use a black swan event analogy with the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why, which I can tell you in a second, but you know, we've known for decades his stance on tariffs and trade policies. Fair. So, you know, and he campaigned on it. So it's not, you know, shouldn't be too new news.
Yeah.
Right. But back to black swan events. So just one quick little story. So black swan, everybody thinks of the financial crisis back in 2008, 2009. And it was, I was working at Deutsche Bank at the time on the trading desk and based out of Chicago. And I went to New York cause I was gonna, my business partner had just decided to move to go run, you know, Europe, Deutsche Bank Europe, right? And I was offered to go with him as his partner, which would have been great. But my dad had just passed away, so I didn't want to leave my mom in North America by herself. And, you know, he's my partner was a bit of a master politician, and I'm not. So he, you know, he can in a big investment bank, you gotta figure out, you know, the politics of it. And so anyway, I was like, okay, if he's not here anymore, Deutsche Bank, like I should go and see, can I get a job? You know, like, am I better off at Morgan Stanley? Da, da, da. So I go to New York, I'm having these different meetings and I bump into this gentleman who I'd met through a really, really interesting organization. And he's like, what are you doing in New York? Cause I know you're based in Chicago. And I said, well, you know, I'm at Deutsche Bank. It's all great, but I'm going to meet with, you know, Morgan Stanley, I'm going to meet with da da da. And I said, Morgan, he goes, oh, don't go there. And I said, well, I'm going to go meet with this other bank too. And he's like, don't go there. And I mentioned one more and he's like, don't go there. And I'm like, wow, like this guy does not like the sell side, right? Investment banking is the sell side. He's the buy side. And I was like, I didn't even ask him why. I was just like, okay, whatever. Anyway, that was the summer of 2006. Financial crisis was 2008. He was at one of the most famous firms that was shorting the housing market.
So he knew.
He knew. Yeah. So I always use that as a reference in the sense that somebody knows, meaning, you know, when you think of black swan events, like in retrospect, they were actually predictable. So
those people that were
doing the homework, saying what makes sense here, what doesn't make sense. Anyway, right. I just
like people in the lab in China when they leaked the virus were like, ooh, this is going to be a problem. If that's in fact how, I mean, thinking that most people are now thinking the lab leak is maybe the most likely cause of how the virus started. But yes, yeah. There's always somebody that's in the know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but Melissa, you wanted, I don't know if we have much time, but we can talk about, did you want to talk about credit default swaps or do you want to talk about docs?
Well, let me say that the credit default swaps is sort of like this. Like anybody who was shorting the banks at the time or shorting that knew that a lot of people were going to be defaulting on their mortgages. And so what we talked about with these credit default swaps is, are a lot of people going to be defaulting on their loans payments? And are, you know, and therefore, if you believe that the same way that you believe the financial crisis was coming, is that a buy? And, you know, we both listened to the All In podcast and Chamath was talking about this, that he hopes it doesn't happen. But like, could that be something that people could look into? Like, what if people can't, like, are a lot of bad businesses going to go bankrupt? Are a lot of people not going to be able to pay back their loans? Like, is this businesses, I should say, not people. Anyhow, mm-hmm. So there you go. I mean, this is something that's very not my forte. Like, I barely understand it, but I did ask you about it because I'm like, what do you think about this?
So, and were you saying it in a sense that is there a product that you can buy to,
It seems like as a retail investor, the only thing that you can buy is an ETF.
Yeah, which I haven't really looked into that ETF, but a credit default swap is basically just like an insurance product. So, you know, if you have a, you know, think of it like car insurance, right? You pay a premium to protect yourself if you, you know, get into an accident. And, you know, you hope that never happens, but if it does, you're going to be paid out, right? If you're going to, you know, be made whole. So the same thing is true for credit default swap. So it's insurance on a bond, as an example, or a government or a company. So if a company, you know, issues bonds and somebody buys those bonds to hedge that bond or that company, because the bond is, represents the debt of that company, to hedge their position, so to protect themselves, that's what hedging means in this context, to protect themselves from that company going bankrupt, and therefore the bonds go to zero, they would buy insurance on that. Against that. So that's what this credit default swap industry is.
So it would be protecting them. So if you're about the company going to zero, or what going to zero? What do you mean?
I mean, going to
they
zero.
They can't pay back.
They can't pay back. So they're going to, they're whoever created that CDS. So if you're a pension fund too, right, you might hold a lot of debt, a lot of bonds. You might buy CDSs to protect your, on your fixed income portfolio. So you're going to pay a fee to whoever created this CDS. You're going to pay a fee, but the benefit is if something happens, you will be made whole. The other aspect though, right? So if that company goes bankrupt, they will give you the value that you protected against. Okay. And you might not protect against the whole value of what you bought in the bonds, but you might protect against some of it, just a bit of a hedge. And those securities, they're derivatives, they trade in the market. So people, even if you don't need to buy insurance on bonds that you hold, you can trade in the market. Like other people are going to be just trading these, and the value of the CDS is dependent on the value of the company, right? So in other words, if you think that the company, if there's insurance on a company's debt bond, if there's insurance on that, and the company is looking very weak because of the economy, the value of that CDS will go down. So people will, they're tradable securities.
I think it's sophisticated. I don't understand.
It's very sophisticated.
I totally understand. It's very sophisticated, but it caught my attention. So I will be reading up and learning a little bit more in this area.
Okay. And to your point though, and I'll look at the ETF. So see what it's all about. I haven't looked at that yet. I didn't even know that there was an ETF that represented CDSs, but it makes sense that there is, because there's ETFs that represent, as we talk about,
everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything, which is great. I mean, it's a way to express your view of economies, of sectors.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and I know you need to get going, but
I do, because, but let's just, what do you think about Canada holding the interest rate?
Oh, right. So this is another important aspect for people to know, that the Bank of Canada did hold the interest rate steady, as opposed to lowering it. Personally, I think it's the right move.
Yeah.
I think it's the right move because, you know, lowering it there are so many other areas that need to be fixed in the economy. And and that's fiscal policy, not monetary policy. And that means it's the government that has to really do a better job of managing the country. It shouldn't be about, raising and lowering interest rates constantly. And remember, when you lower the rates, it tends to lower the currency. When we have a weaker dollar, it takes more Canadian dollars to buy everything we don't produce in Canada, which is a heck of a lot. Yeah. So you're using a weak dollar to buy what you need.
Alrighty.
Well,
on that note, I'm going to see if my shopping package arrived. Well, I guess they don't deliver. I'm excited. I ordered a pair of shoes. I shouldn't have, but you know what? It made me feel good. I have to just end on this. So, because stocks have been down and the markets have been down and things are down, it made me feel good about some of the spending purchases I have made in the past 6 months. Because sometimes I think people, it's good to save aggressively, but you got to remember, you got to enjoy life and you have to have a good balance. And I'm really happy that I didn't just throw more money into savings and not spend on some of the trips that I took and some of the things that I bought. Because you know what? That money, if I put in the market, would have disappeared because the stocks have gone down. And instead, I had some really great experiences and, good clothes. So I think it's always just like a fine balance, you know?
Yes, life is certainly about balance. That's the trick, or that's the goal. My dad was phenomenal at that. But just one note, you only really lose money if you sell.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough.
Okay?
It's the
Because
optics of it.
I'm down
I
on a
know,
couple
but
of
you
stocks
haven't
that I
used to.
bought.
Unless you've sold, you haven't lost money. Yep, you're still in there. That's
And
an
you buy good
extremely good point.
companies, they come back. You buy companies that pay dividends. I'm collecting my dividend checks.
Yep, that's very true. You know, I think that when your stocks are up, even if you haven't sold, you feel like you're richer. So it's more likely to make you go and spend on other things. When stocks go down, even if you don't sell, you feel like you're poorer. So you're less likely to do. So we act in the way that we've made or lost money. But you're right. If you're a long-term investor, then just part of the, just got to follow that slope of the curve.
I
We're just
think
on a
so.
little blip and then,
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And time
All right, I'm
horizons.
going to check on
Wait,
my
wait.
shoes.
Time horizon is very important, right? Like if you're, 89, like my mother, like less time to recoup those losses. Time matters. All right. Even though we never know how much time we have, so
We don't, but let's
every
talk
day
about
is a blessing. Every day is a
Yes,
blessing.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's a positive note. Okay. Have a
Yeah.
great
Bye.
weekend.
You
Okay. Bye.
too.